Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines always open for your take at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I've got a piece from the Cap Times. Paul Fanlon, the author thereof, braced for the smear campaign aimed at Mandela Barnes. Well, now that the Democrats have their champion in Mandela, and of course, Ron, oh, you own Ron, GOP, the smear campaign. I've heard this race, the most recent figures I've seen just on the Senate race, $136 million race just in Wisconsin.
Does that include the $25 million race already spent by Mandela's primary opponents?
Probably. Right. Anyways, Fanlon writes, our state's race for the U.S. Senate this fall will be as closely watched and probably as negative as any in the nation. That's because even fellow Republicans are shaking their head at Ron Johnson, the two-term incumbent, and his many fantastical, detached from reality pronouncements. No amount of Republican independent expenditures, you know, Dom, outside money from undisclosed donors like the Ulines and the widow Hendricks, can rehabilitate and normalize his image. Johnson has morphed into the prototypical millionaire Republican focused on tax cuts and his tinfoil hat persona of today. A guy who discounts COVID vaccines, the January 6th insurrection, and doubts Joe Biden actually won.
Oh, come on.
The only logical play his backers have is a torrent of negative ads to try and disqualify Mandela Barnes, the Democratic nominee. They will likely be as distorted and probably racially tinged as any in our lifetimes, which is quite a standard. In truth, Barnes is energetic, charismatic, a middle-class guy from Milwaukee, rose to become lieutenant governor as a mainstream liberal, not as a radical. Barnes' pre-primary ads effectively introduced him as being in touch with the average person. One shows him pushing a grocery cart and saying he knows the cost of a gallon of milk. Now, I asked Mandela specifically, Mandela, how much is milk? $4, he said. Unlike his wealthy primary foes, and certainly unlike Rojo, in the general election, it may seem appealing for Barnes to attack Johnson for the kind of behavior that is generated. This recent headline on the New York Times column by Michelle Cottle. Why is Ron Johnson still competitive despite you know everything? Johnson may be the senator who most fully embodies MAGA world, she wrote. His irrational and irresponsible conspiracy mongering about matters such as COVID vaccine, the integrity of the 2020 election, and who was really behind the January 6th riots has unsettled even some of his Republican colleagues. But focusing on that, say, prominent Democratic strategist I spoke with recently would be the wrong path. The right path will be to shine a light on how Johnson has betrayed his constituents by catering solely to the wealthy. Yes. As one strategist put it this way, and I'm going to read as much of this quote as I can. It's a little profane. Barnes has to make clear that he understands the challenges working people face and then put it into a powerhouse counterpunch, which is what Ron Johnson has been looking out for himself and his wealthy donors at every turn. And whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, an independent, whether you hate politics, whether you're white, black, brown, you're probably been ripped off by Ron Johnson in order to enrich his billionaire donors.
Crudy, as you mentioned, in 2017, Johnson withheld support for President Trump's huge tax cut because it served wealthy over the regular people, which it did, but apparently because it did not do enough for his two major Wisconsin donors. Johnson got his way and, having pledged not to seek a third term, probably thought it would never matter politically. A ProPublica investigation reported that Johnson's last-minute maneuver benefited two families more than almost any others in the country, both worth billions and both among the senator's biggest donors. Dick and Liz Uline, the packaging giant Uline, along with roofing magnate Diane Hendricks, together had contributed around $20 million to groups back in Johnson's 2016 re-election campaign, the report said. The expanded tax break Johnson muscled through netted them $250 million in deductions in 2018 alone, drastically reducing the income they owed taxes on. Another Democratic strategist agreed a tax on Barnes should be met by pointing out the stains on Johnson's record. It's the old sports metaphor. He's doing the right thing so far as an introduction and grounding as U.S. Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin put it in 2012. But the best defense is a good offense. Make the election about the other guy. For Democrats who worry about Barnes's electability as a former community organizer and an African-American in an overwhelmingly white state, consider this. Since 2008, one strategist noted, Democratic candidates who were straight white men and women have lost 6 of 8 elections in Wisconsin for president, governor, and U.S. Senate. Governor Tony Evers in 18 and President Biden in 2020 were the exceptions. Meanwhile, African-American and gay candidates have won 4 and lost none, twice each by Barack Obama and Baldwin. I also asked the strategist how angst-ridden Democrats, the kind jammed into deep blue Madison and Dane County, should cope with the GOP ad barrage to come. By recognizing reality, one responded, as to coping, we passed that bridge a long time ago in this country. Our society and politics are pretty much effed for the time being. This fall will be an ugly campaign season and an ever-increasingly string of them. But there's no shock and surprise to voters. The key thing for my side is for people to rise above all the insanity and realize their vote counts. The Supreme Court and the January 6th hearings and the ongoing threat to democracy give us powerful ways to ensure they do. The other strategists suggested Wisconsin Democrats should interpret this fall's ad barrage as positive indication of just how important they are. The thing to remember is that in Wisconsin, almost uniquely in the United States and almost uniquely in history, a tiny number of votes can sway statewide elections that wind up changing the game for the entire country over and over and over. We have some of the closest elections anyone has ever seen, and that means that every Wisconsin voter has a superpower. If you don't like the way things are going, you can do something about it, unlike people who live in states that are deep blue or deep red. So Barnes should make the election about his understanding and embrace of middle-class pocketbook issues, and his supporters should keep reminding themselves of their superpowers. That means they should be energized to volunteer, donate, and vote. Makes sense to me, writes Paul Fanland at the Cap Times.
Dominic, what is your superpower?
My superpower? Patience.
I would say the ability to burst bubbles of all sorts. I mean, really, you can harsh anyone's buzz.
Ah, thanks, man. I appreciate that. You know, I like to think I can, you know, cut through the BS and just lay it out how it actually is. And Barnes is going to mop the floor with Rojo. I can't wait for this. This is going to be a perfect election season.
I think it will be very close. I mean, historically speaking, nearly every race in the state of Wisconsin is very, very close. I am less concerned about the racism here in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, I think it's some interesting stats that Fanland quotes. Tammy Baldwin didn't hide from her gayness, and she won 100,000 Scott Walker votes. And, of course, Mandela Barnes is black, if you hadn't noticed. But so was... Who's that guy? Barack Hussein Obama?
Yeah, the Hussein guy.
Yeah, and he won like 58 out of 72 Wisconsin counties. Come back. Hour 2 of the Devil's Advocates is next.
Stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand deliver to the vice president the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.